the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My Father's house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. It is a fact, my friends, that we do not hear much anymore about the wrath of God. You know what I'm talking about, those fire and brimstone sermons. But rather, we hear an abundance of sermons about God's love, about tolerance and acceptance. Those mushy sermons decorated with sweet talk. The reason why: some Christians cannot figure out how to reconcile their understanding of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son with the existence of the fires of hell simultaneously. As a result, these Christians end up being what we call closet universalists, assuming that in the end, a God of love will send no one to hell and everyone to heaven, regardless of their beliefs. And our old Adam, that sinful nature inside each of us, would love to believe this to be true. The reason why: if everyone goes to heaven, then there is no need to bother with God's call to repentance. If everyone goes to heaven, we can simply live and ignore the Lord's warnings to those who persist in sin. But of course, if we listen to God's voice in the Scriptures, that is not an option for us. The Scriptures, they actually reveal a God who is patient and loving and merciful, all in degrees beyond our own comprehension. Yet we also have a God who does not overlook continual rebellion, a God who will, in the end, punish and destroy, a God who punishes and destroys with tears in his eyes. In this morning's gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, we read this: "And as he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." Why did the Lord Jesus cry? Because he who is God in our flesh does not take a sick delight in hurting people, in judging, or in destroying people. He did not create us for this. He did not come into our flesh for destruction. And so he weeps when we leave him no other choice but to do what he does not want to do but still must do. You heard God's great sadness in our first reading as well, from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was actually speaking to Israel. The people of Israel, they had rebelled. They had rebelled countless times against the Lord, and they thought that they could just keep on rebelling and yet God would keep them safe from their enemies. Their prophets actually even told them this. They said, "Oh, peace and peace, oh, peace and have peace." In other words, do not worry. God will never let anything happen to his holy city where his temple is. You shall not worry. Therefore, Jeremiah was sent to the people of Israel. He was sent to shatter that illusion, to prepare the people of what was to come. He tells them that merely knowing the law of God, but never bothering to repent of the times where it is broken, merely possessing the word of God, but never bothering to listen to it, will not keep them safe. It will land them in destruction. And so the Lord gave his nation and his great city into the hands of the Babylonians, so that Israel, well, actually what was left of it, would learn that rebelling against the Lord is no joking matter, nothing to be taken lightly. His patience is great, no doubt about it, far beyond our patience, but God's patience does have an end. And then in our gospel lesson from today, from the Gospel of Mark, it was a deja vu for the people, for us as we hear this. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem in order to take the hit for Israel and for all people. Jesus is coming to his cross and saying to his Father, pour it on me, all your righteous wrath for all the rebellions, for all the times they heard your word. Pour it all on me. Pour it on me for all the times that they despised and ignored your word, Lord God, without any care or concern. Pour out your wrath on me. I will bear it for them. I will answer for their treason, so that they may receive through me the pardon and remission of all of their sins, so that they may not perish, but have the eternal life, which is our joy and delight. Pour it on me. And yet Jesus, at the same time, he bursts into tears. He weeps. He weeps because he knows what will happen. He knows that even after he has borne hell and felt the true and full fury of righteous wrath against all humankind upon himself, so many in his city would turn their nose up at his sacrifice. He knew that they would say, "No, thank you. I do not need you or anything else you are offering. I do not need you. Thank you very much. I can do it on my own." And so Jesus cries. He cries for Jerusalem. He cries, but not only for Jerusalem, he cries for us too. For all the times when we choose to ignore God's will and insist on going our own way. He cries. He cries for all the times when we take his sacrifice for granted and continue to go the way of disobedience and rebellion. For all the times we say to ourselves, "Well, I'm baptized and I've taken communion, so God will forgive me while I go on doing my own thing without any regard to his commands." Jesus cries for all the times we delude ourselves into thinking that we've done enough and been good enough to pass muster on our own before the judgment seat of God. He cries for all of that when he cries for Jerusalem, because he does not want us to experience where that leads us, to the loss of everything. So he cries for us. There is then, my friends, in his tears, in Jesus' weeping, a pleading. There's a pleading for us to embrace a life of repentance. A pleading for us to cry with him over all that our sins and rebellions have cost him. A pleading for us to fall before him and pray, "Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us." Because when we do this, when we do cry out for mercy, when we do repent, when we are brought to the end of ourselves and we confess that we are poor, miserable sinners in thought, word, and deed, and that we need the grace of God, then there are tears of another sort. Tears of joy in his eyes and in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. In the eyes of the angels, these army angels. Tears of joy as we are welcomed home like long-lost children. Because that is what our Lord longs for. This is exactly what he longs for. This is what he came to bleed and die for. This is why he rose from the dead. This is why he comes to us. He comes to us to welcome home each and every repentant soul and unite you and me to himself in an embrace of love so strong that we will share his life forever. And when we celebrate it, and that is what the Lord's Supper is truly about, it is not a feast for those who are content to live in rebellion against God's commands. It is a feast spread for those who ache over how they have failed God and who desire His forgiveness and strength to do better. That is what He gives you in His word, in His proclaimed word, and His sacrament of the altar. He unites Himself to you so that His forgiveness covers your sin and He strengthens your faith in Him and your fervent love for one another, as the prayer after communion has it. He's a God of patience, but not patience without an end. He waits now for our repentance. And when we live in daily repentance and faith, it is His joy. I repeat, it is His joy to grant us forgiveness, life, and salvation. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.